This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Philip C and Kusu Chuang. And now let's recap how global markets ended trading on Thursday.
A great day in the US, as stellar bank results, I think, showed that in the numbers. Dow was up 1.6%, S&P 500 and Nasdaq was up 1.7%, carrying it over across to Asia. Nikkei was up 1.5%, Hong Kong was closed, Shanghai Composite was down 1.1%, STA was up 0.9%, but back home, unfortunately, FBM KLCI was down 0.5%.
So joining us for a quick take on what's moving markets, we speak to Carlos Casanova, Senior Economist at UBP. Good morning, Carlos. Thanks so much for joining us today. Let's start with China, because China's PPI numbers upended market expectations, suggesting that producer inflation is more serious than once thought. What's the likelihood of Chinese manufacturers passing these higher costs to consumers?
That's correct. So we have been seeing producer price inflation, or PPI, trending up since the beginning of the year on the back of supply chain disruptions, which have, of course, exerted upside pressure on a lot of input prices, things from ranging from semiconductors to some types of metals to energy prices nowadays. And although PPI is typically positively correlated with profits, meaning, you know, as input prices go up, manufacturers are able to pass on that cost to companies downstream, and that is a windfall for them. This time round, given the nature of the factors that are exerting pressure, meaning a lot of the COVID-19 related supply chain disruptions, they have not been able to, and we saw that in how in the CPI, or consumer price index data, which was actually lower in September compared to August. It was 0.7% compared to 0.8%. So a very weak in consumer price inflation there. We don't think this situation is sustainable. So it is possible that the government will be a little bit more flexible about passing through some of this cost downstream to the consumer. And indeed, we have started to see this with power tariffs, meaning the electricity prices to manufacturers upstream are now 10% more expensive to factor in for higher coal prices, as generators were being asked to operate at a loss and shouldering all of that burden of the supply chain disruption, whereas, you know, it should be shared equally amongst all of the players in that supply chain. So some of the upstream manufacturers and even consumers will be expected to pay a little bit more going forward.
At the same time, though, China is still battling energy shortages. There's also concerns of a debt crisis in the property sector. What monetary tools can the PBOC use to combat this crisis of confidence, if it can be called that, in the economy?
Correct. So we actually, next week, we'll see Q3 GDP numbers. And it's possible that with the very strong export print that we saw this week, remember, of course, demand in the US and Europe is very strong. It could be, you know, not as disappointing as expected, mainly because of that support on the external front. But we shall see that next week. I think they are going to maintain their current monetary policy stance, which is something that the PBOC, unique to the PBOC. They call it cross-cyclical, meaning it's not counter-cyclical or pro-cyclical. So they are effectively managing liquidity to minimize any risks between tightening in the first half of this year and easing after we expect Q1 2021. It could be sooner than expected if that GDP print next week is very disappointing, and if the power crunch exerts additional downside risks on growth in Q4. Or it could be later if you know, that external push in demand is significant to warrant you know, optimism on the growth front, which is not our baseline scenario. So we do expect that around Q1 they will deploy additional monetary easing. In the meantime, they are sticking to this muddling through cross-cyclical approach, which means additional liquidity injections where needed. So remember, this week it was a net drain after injecting so much in September, and then one more reserve requirement ratio cut, which effectively will allow banks to utilize some of their reserves to lend to the economy. And so we expect that will take place in December. due to some technical factors surrounding maturing medium-term lending facility loans that month. So again, mostly to manage the liquidity, not to inject additional liquidity or signal a change in stance. That will only happen later on in 2022.
Right. You know, meanwhile, Singapore's Monetary Authority unexpectedly tightened monetary policy settings. Why do you think they did that? And are they fearful that local inflation is non-transitory?
Mm-hmm. That's right. So Singapore tightened their policy stance. Not entirely surprising, although it was not priced in the forecast. But we have seen this divergence in monetary policies within Asia. So the more advanced economies that are farther ahead with their post-COVID recovery have already started to tighten. You know, Bank of Korea is leading that effort, but we have Australia and New Zealand as well joining suit. And when that was taking place, it was always in my mind, what happens with Singapore and Hong Kong? They haven't formally said anything yet. So not entirely surprising that Singapore was first, that they are reopening, looking to normalize the situation, and of course, buying themselves a little bit extra policy space there in case we do have any future, you know, shocks like a mutation that is, you know, not susceptible to vaccines or something like that. So they are utilizing this period to normalize activity. And it's normal because we are seeing this divergence between the countries that are moving forward with their post-recovery policy normalization cycle, especially DMs in Asia Pacific, and those that are still grappling with the virus, still pushing with their vaccination drive, but not at, you know, 80-90% vaccination rates like we see in Singapore and some of these countries, where unfortunately the central banks are sort of holding onto these dovish stances, hoping that the Fed is not going to tighten sooner than expected so they can continue to provide support to the economy through this period and then be in a position to tighten once things improve, hopefully next year.
Hmm. And I guess taking a look at Hong Kong, is exploring the rollout of its own digital currency, the EHKD. What possible reasons could the Hong Kong Monetary Authority have for wanting to issue this?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the backdrop is the fact that China will push ahead with the launch of its own digital currency. It was expected to be launched during the Winter Olympics in Beijing. So the infrastructure is most certainly in place. However, you know, it is possible that they will choose to do so at a later stage, given that, you know, this will be a rather modest Winter Olympics. So international travel most likely not going to be allowed. And so they won't have the sort of pizzazz and optimism surrounding the Winter Olympic as they've had in other sporting events in the past. So it's possible that they'll choose to announce it later on. And within that backdrop, Hong Kong is also moving towards having you know, their own electronic payment system. Mind you, these are not decentralized cryptocurrencies. These are simply non-paper versions of the existing currency. So it's a little bit less disruptive in that context. I think it's positive. Hong Kong has definitely fallen behind in terms of digitalization in some areas of its economy. So it's good that they are trying to at least play catch up, and the future is most definitely digital, not non-hard currency.
Carlos, thanks so much for speaking to us. Have a good weekend ahead. That was Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP, giving us a quick picture of what's moving markets, particularly within the Asian region.
Yeah, you know, just in terms of how the mood among the financial commentators this week and in risky, or what they call so-called risk on assets, there seems to be a more than a note of caution coming into the tone of the commentary. And of course, as we know, the banks in America announced earnings last night. Bank of America Chief Moynihan said that inflation is definitely not transitory, and it's here to stay. And just in terms of where the market is going, I mean, short positions on money markets are betting basically that hikes will be faster and more aggressive from the end of next year than originally expected. And you can see positions being built in so-called safe havens like gold, which is narrowing its losses for the year, and as well as cryptocurrency. cryptocurrency is around about $57,000. It's up like, I don't know, maybe 20% of the last 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, I think markets have priced in some tapering already. And also the hikes. But the question is, how many hikes have the market, has the market priced in? Is it one, two or three hikes? That's the question.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.